Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging around with me. And if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Dave Anderson's a new friend. And soon to be an old friend, though, because we're gonna have some fun with him today, and we're going to get him back on another day. Dave is the president of Learn to Lead, an international sales and management organization. He has made a payroll, folks, just like you and I do, and he's has quite a bit of experience in his past in the automobile dealership, which, as you know, is no easy business. He now speaks and writes. He's written a number of books, including the newest one I'm holding in my hand, Up Your Business, 7 Steps to Fix, Build, or Stretch Your Organization. Dave Anderson, welcome to the show.
Jim, thank you for having me.
It's good to have you on the show, and congratulations on your book.
Thank you very much.
I like the things you say in here, and one of the things that I'd like to focus on today, if we can, are the human element of our businesses. And you make a statement in here. I have been guilty on this show of saying that our people are our most important asset.
Right.
And that's true. That is true. There's no question about it. But you actually refine that in your book in a way that I really liked a lot. And I'm going to start using it. And I will give you attribution when I do. And you say that people aren't your most important asset of a company or of a small business. The right people are.
Yes. You know, we all have equal value as human beings, Jim, but we don't all bring equal value to the workplace.
That's right.
And, you know, some people really elevate the team and some drain it. And so I think, you know, leaders today in business, they really need to see people really as they are, face reality about their people and deal with them accordingly and stop trying to be everything to everyone.
When Abraham Lincoln gave his Gettysburg Address and he talked about, dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
Yes.
He didn't say all employees are created equal, did he?
That's so true. But, you know, what's interesting is political correctness today has so watered down that fact that we're so afraid to single people out for special rewards or to single people out for special reprimands. And so leaders have really diminished and debilitated that performance-based psyche. They need to run a great business, and, they start to try to be everything to everyone, and that's a recipe for mediocrity.
You know, 5-year-old T-ball, where everybody gets a trophy, even if they lost,
right.
That's okay in kindergarten, but it doesn't work in the marketplace, does it?
It doesn't work in the marketplace, and I think that there are a lot of leaders today that don't get that, they don't grasp that, they've been so seduced by this political correctness, and they've turned into leadership wimps, and they just don't face the tough issues in the business place.
Right. One of the things that you talk about in your book are what you call in workplace environment demotivators.
Yes.
You actually have a name for them. That's one of the things I like about your book. You remind me of me. You come up with handles to put things on, and I think it helps people to take them away. You call these landfill symptoms, and I want you to tell us what you mean.
Well, you know, I always talk about an environment is so important where you work, because if you want to attract and retain great people, you have to build the right environment. And I talk about building an eagle environment. Eagles are attracted to mountaintops, but, you know, landfills, if you've got a landfill, eagles aren't attracted to landfills, and landfills have a lot of the wrong things in them. You know, things like too many rules, to where people feel like they're children. They feel diminished and cheap and untrusted, tolerating poor performers. That's a big landfill symptom that just, you know, lowers morale and breaks momentum, and everybody feels a little bit cheapened, you know, for being there. Too many or unproductive meetings, just stupid things that drain the life out of the workplace.
I want to come back to too many rules for a second.
Sure.
What I've been saying for the last few years is in the 21st century, the management... The successful management practice is not going to be the dominator model, which was the one you and I grew up in.
Right.
But it's going to be more the partner model, where you let people give them the opportunity to be entrepreneurs, and of course we do have to have some rules. But when you say too many rules, you're talking about micromanagement, aren't you?
Well, absolutely, and I totally agree with what you just said. You know, the old command and control management style. the whips and chains, do it my way or the highway. That stuff was stupid 25 years ago. But you could get away with it then because people had fewer options. But you're right. I'm talking about micromanaging people today. And, you know, you've got a more highly educated workforce today than any time in history, more highly demanding, more highly diverse. And that type of style just doesn't work well. And, you know, you do need some structure, some rules. But too many managers go overboard.
Well, what happens... I'm sorry, Steve. Dave, go ahead.
No, please.
I was just going to say what happens is in that 25 years ago scenario you were talking about, the employees didn't know the vision. All they knew was what they just knew that they were supposed to turn the next screw to the right.
Exactly.
And what that screw turning meant to the whole organization, they rarely knew. But today that doesn't work. That you communicate to your employees how their assignment contributes to the whole, and then you say that's what we want to have done, and it's not that you don't give them any instructions, but you loosen up a little bit and let them get it done.
Well, you do. You know, people want meaning in their work today, I think, more than any time in history. I mean, without meaningful work, life stinks. I don't care if you're cleaning toilets or sweeping floors. People want a job that means something, but they don't excel. They don't feel connected when they're too tightly controlled, when they feel insignificant. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to think, because I was a manager that had this backwards, I had a lot of rules because I didn't know any better. I was a micromanager. You know, my first year and a half, I made every mistake you could make. I sometimes wish I could go back and find that first group of people I managed and apologize. You know,
well, you probably thought you were God's gift to management in those days too, didn't you?
Well, I did, because my manager did, and I came up just like him. And so I repeated all his errors. And, I used to think that, you know, I could command commitment. If I just had enough rules, if I just did everybody's thinking for them, I could just command commitment. But you can't command commitment. You've got to inspire
it. Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. You mentioned too many meetings.
Yeah.
I'm going to propose something, though. In more small businesses than not, in my opinion, there probably aren't quite enough meetings, believe it or not. Would you agree with that?
There you go. Yeah, I do. In fact, you know,
not in big companies, but in little companies, they probably, I mean, many small companies, they might go a month or 2 or 3 months or maybe longer than that without ever having sat down with their people and said, okay, how are we doing?
Oh, I agree. And, you know, it's so important in small companies to communicate well. And it's, you know, and there's different types of meetings too, Jim, which is interesting. A lot of times we have management meetings, but we don't ever have enough training meetings. You know, we get together and we talk about budgets and forecasts and marketing, but we don't get together often enough to get our people better.
Stand by. Dave, we're going to take a quick break. It's 20 after. We'll be right back with our friend Dave Anderson, the author of Up Your Business. Stay with us. She's got it.
Sitting in the morning sun.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our friend Dave Anderson. Dave is the author of Up Your Business. And Dave, give us your website, please.
Yes, it's www.learntolead. Just spell it out like it sounds, learntolead.com.
What do we find when we get there?
When you get there, you're going to find 300 plus free training articles on sales management leadership. You just sign up as an insider. There's no cost. Takes you about 5 minutes, and you have access to our archives, and it's a great resource for training and personal growth.
All right, and check that out, folks. We like free stuff, Dave. Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
And they can find out more about your book, right?
Yes, you'll also find some stuff you can buy there. The books are there, tapes, CDs, and so forth, and you'll get a good glimpse of what we do there at the site.
Which includes, you've got a book there called Selling Above the Crowd, right?
Got Selling Above the Crowd there.
And also No-Nonsense Leadership.
Yes. No-Nonsense Leadership.
Yeah.
And I have, then, of course, the latest one, Up Your Business. And there's some CD and cassette for sales and managers as well, and DVD programs. We have a lot of resources,
right,
Jim.
And, of course, the books are available wherever books are sold. So check those out when you get a chance. And Dave Anderson is spelled just like you would think it would be. Let's get back to these what you call landfill symptoms. We're talking about managing your people, folks. And what I like to think about, Dave, and I try to talk about as much as I can, is not only hiring, finding and keeping and nurturing the right people, but also helping them navigate the accelerated change environment that we have. You know, nothing's really new under the sun, as far as I'm concerned, except one thing, and that is not change, but the velocity of change. Yeah. That's the only thing to me that's changed in my career. You know, a computer is just a fancy wheel, as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly.
But the velocity at which we've gone from one wheel to the next one, that's different. And the key is to not only hire and maintain the best people, but help them navigate this change minefield without creating a casualty list. How do we do that?
Well, you know, that's why I think you go right back to looking at your environment. You got to get the junk out of the way. If you're going to move faster, you need fewer rules. You need fewer layers of red tape. You need more feedback. I mean, people need feedback. They need to know how they're doing so they can correct their course more quickly or, you know, keep doing the right thing when they are doing it. And most leaders don't give nearly enough feedback. They keep their people in the dark. But if you're working for a good leader, Jim, you're not in a gray area. You know where you stand, and you know what the next move is. And so, you know, that's why leaders today, because change is accelerated, they need to spend more time in the trenches with their people and out of the ivory tower and out of their office. They need to continue to lead from the front so they can reinforce and correct and do so more quickly. But you got a lot of leaders today that have become isolated. They don't even lead. They preside, and they're trying to navigate this accelerated rate of change by memo.
And when somebody makes a mistake, it's hell to pay, probably.
And, oh, it is. And usually they let it go too long before they confront it, and now it's really bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I was one of my favorite management thoughts is I think back on when I was learning how to fly instruments in an airplane. My instructor said flying instruments is a series of lots and lots of tiny corrections.
Yes.
Not don't wait till it swings too far to the left or the right. The second it starts going off course, you pull it back so that when you come back, you don't oscillate, you know, back and forth like a pendulum.
Right.
That's what you were talking about.
Exactly. And in order to observe what's going on, in order to give feedback, in order to help people make corrections, leaders have got to get more involved. But so many of them, I'm telling you, they sit in their offices, they get dazed by data and numbed by numbers, and they lose connection with their people. So their people are in a gray area, they're in the dark, they're not making corrections, and results are not what they should be.
But what you're saying is not like in the old days where when you had contact with your employees, you were telling them what to do. Now the contact you're talking about is going and letting them tell you what they're doing, and then you help them with that.
Well,
is that what you're talking about?
That's right. Feedback's a two-way street, and I think leaders today don't ask nearly enough questions. They give too many answers.
Uh-huh.
And I think you need to be a questioning machine, not just an answering machine, to be an effective leader today. And you know, you got to listen. And leadership's a dialogue. It's not a monologue. And it is a two-way street. And you have to go out there and be able to let people, you know, people support what they help create. They want to weigh in before they buy in. And we have to go out there and adapt that style to get the best out of them.
Don't you also have to be prepared to, when someone messes up and you know that they did it, taking initiative, don't you think that we have to be prepared to say, instead of saying, you know, you know that was stupid or you're fired or whatever, don't we have to say, what did we learn?
Oh, there's no doubt that a good leader is going to encourage an environment that has some skinned knees. You're going to have some skinned knees. They're going to teach their people, hey, when you hit a wall, let's learn to bounce, not to splatter, you know? and they're going to use mistakes as a teaching tool rather than a battering ram, because you want people that will take some shots. And you have to encourage they keep taking them even when they miss. That's how they grow. That's how they have breakthroughs. Otherwise, you just have a bunch of timid little mice scurrying throughout the workplace, hoping not to be noticed and hoping not to make a mistake.
And if they don't do that, then you're the one with the skinned knees all the time. And, you know, my knees aren't that big.
That's right. That's so true.
I need some other skin.
There you go.
And you know what?
It all starts with the leader's attitude and the leader's attitude towards people. Now, it's not okay to keep repeating the same mistakes. You know, we got to learn from them. We want to correct and do better. But my goodness, this is how we grow people. I tell managers all the time, I said, I wish I could tell you there was some clean, sterile, antiseptic, sanitized way to grow people. But there's not. It's messy. Growing people's messy. They mess up. They screw up. They drop the ball. They let you down. You got to stick with it.
Dave Anderson. Thanks, Dave, for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Jim.
The author of Up Your Business. Check it out wherever books are sold. Quick break. I'll be right back with Philippa Games. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.